Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8, and that's God calling. Let's see where we can put this guy. Okay, let's see. You need a Bible, don't you? Let me get you one. Okay, let's see. Let's give me that. Here you go. Proverbs chapter 8, if you would. And let's get our study out. You know, life can be filled with questions, don't you think? You ever wonder about things about life? And you know, and I think it's a very natural thing to do because God has placed, I think, a God-shaped vacuum in every heart, where every heart has a question. And I think there are four basic questions that every human asks. What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? Does God exist? And what will happen when I die? And I think in Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to kind of see the answers to these questions through these three things this morning: the cry of wisdom, the capital of wisdom, and the credibility of wisdom. Now, the cry of wisdom indicates that every heart has that God-shaped vacuum. Every heart has that question of those four things. What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? What will happen when I die? But the problem is with not just you, it's me, it's the every human being, is that we seek to answer those questions by filling it with the wrong stuff. We don't seek after God by nature. And you go, well, I was born in a Christian family. I always went to church, you know. But by nature, we don't seek God. God seeks after us, and you are blessed with the grace and by God's love and mercy that you are either born or in a Christian home or your parents became believers and you're being exposed. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God reached out to people, and so we'll see that in the cry of wisdom. Also, God urges us to follow him by showing his riches, and we'll see that in the capital of wisdom, by reminding us that he has benefits you will receive in life if you follow him. There are benefits. And finally, we will see the credibility of wisdom by reminded to look at our natural world to see his eternal power to lead us in faith in Christ. So let's read together in Proverbs. Chapter 8. Y'all there? Good. And you know about this, you know you can always stop and ask questions. Or if you have a comment or something, because, you know, I think a good Bible study does that. So, let's look at the cry of wisdom. Well, you know, one thing that questions do, it begins this, as we begin, we're going to begin with a question. But a question is always made to engage the heart and mind. So if I asked you a question, you know, I'm asking you to engage something that you have up here or over here. And God's going to do the same thing. And so, by asking a question, God's going to reveal that there's a void that he purposely placed in our hearts. So let's look at verse 1. Well, let's begin with prayer, too. Father, we do, again, come to you and ask for your blessings. We ask that you would open our hearts to your word and instruct us in your ways of wisdom. Help us to grow thereby. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, right? Verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates of the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain who understand, plain to him who understand, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare to her. Hi, fellas. Go ahead and get a Bible. We're in Proverbs chapter 8. It's in the back. As I said, a question is meant to engage the heart and mind. And the first question is, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift her voice? You know, the writer of this is engaging your heart. God is saying, hello, I'm asking you a question. Are you awake? Hello? And so he's engaging it. And first question is the question mark shaped heart. All of us have questions. It's the cry of wisdom. And every God-shaped heart is seeking an answer. And as I said before, the problem with our hearts is that we choose to fill it with all the wrong things. You know, the problem is that we have this nature called the flesh, right? And it, in and of itself, the nature is pretty wicked if it's unbridled. You know, we have a nature, part of our human nature is hunger. When we get hungry, what do you want to do? We want to eat. You thirst. You need that drink. It's an urge that God placed in our hearts. But sometimes our urges are so strong, the only person that we think about is only ourselves. And that's when we get into trouble. It's my gratification. I don't care about anybody else. And that's the problem. I want to worship God in my own way. Many people will say that. Well, I don't believe that because I believe God is that. And so they create God in their own image. And God is here to set the record straight. As I said before, there are four basic questions in life that God has placed in our hearts. Is what is the meaning of life? And we'll answer those questions. And why am I here? Why does God exist? What will happen when I die? Well, in this question, he says, does not wisdom cry out? He's saying that his wisdom is crying out, is do we have the ears to hear? Most of the time, we don't have the ears to hear. Now, there's a second question. Does not understanding lift her voice? Well, here, the first question, wisdom is being crying out. God has given his wisdom. He's made his invisible attributes known. But he's also given us a capacity to understand. Does not understanding lift her voice? God wants to give you understanding. It's in his hand and saying, here, you can understand. You got to take it. See, the problem with us, by nature, we are dead in trespasses and sin. Before you come to know Christ, you're dead. Oh, what do you mean I'm dead? I'm walking. I came here. No, you're dead until you ask Jesus into your heart and trust him by faith. God makes you alive again. That's the meaning of you got to be born again. What happens before you come to know Christ, your spirit is dead. All it seeks to do is to satisfy itself. When someone's born again, they want to please God. You have the capacity to understand God's word. You have the capacity to have understanding. So, what's the meaning of life? Does anybody know? Well, the meaning of life is to know God intimately. That's the meaning of life. You know, the answers to these questions aren't very hard or difficult. They're very simple. So you wonder, man, what's the meaning of life? Oh, it's to know God intimately. He created you to know Him. The second question is, why am I here? Okay, the first question is, what's the meaning what is the meaning of life? Well, that's to know Him intimately. Then why am I here? Then what? Well, that is to love God and love others. That's why you're here. You think, wow, what's my purpose in life? Well, my purpose in life is to love God and love others. And once you do that, everything falls in place. Well, some of you say, well, I think my purpose in life is to follow some vocation. I want to be a doctor, or I want to be an artist, I want to be a musician, I want to be something. But if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others like that, do you think that will make you a better doctor? Of course it will. Would it make you a better husband? Absolutely. Would it make you a better wife? Yeah. Will it make you a better son and daughter? Absolutely. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and others, whatever you do in life is just nothing but blessing. It's an outflow of your relationship with God. No matter what vocation you choose, unless it's an evil vocation, then you kind of mess up. So, the third question, does God exist? You know, have you ever doubted that God existed? Sure, I have. We all have. We have those doubts. And now, is it sin to have those doubts? No, I don't think so. But God made His invisible attributes known through nature. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. What happens when I die? Well, you'll spend eternity with God or eternal separation from God. That's what happens when you die. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity with Him. But if you don't like God and you hate God, well, God will say, okay, you can have your way. You don't have to spend eternity with Me. You could be in eternal darkness. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. Well, that's your choice. You chose it. I made everything possible for every human being to spend eternity with Me. I sent My Son to die for you. I laid My life down for you, God says. That's pretty awesome. Well, we saw the question mark-shaped heart. Let's look at the urging of wisdom in verse 5. Oh, you simple ones. Understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Here, God is appealing to all people, simple people. Those who aren't smart and those who are very bright. Aren't you glad that God doesn't call people based upon IQs? Yeah, I'm glad because, you know, if He chose a high IQ, I'd be out of the mix. You know, only the Albert Einsteins of the world can be saved, you know. It's like, but no, God says you have to have faith like what? Do you remember? What kind of a human being? A very little human being? A child. A simple one. Isn't that awesome? That is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man is, we only choose the best, the brightest, the smartest, the fastest, the strongest, you know, the most beautiful. But God says, I choose whoever so will. Those who have a heart for Me. And so, oh, you simple ones.
Let's look at verse 5. Verse 6. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from an opening of my lips will come right things. So, now, notice he's giving like a selling point why to listen to wisdom. First of all, in verse 6, we see excellent and right things. God speaks excellent and right things. Isn't that good to know? You know, I mean, who wants to listen to lousy and wrong things for to manage your life? I don't think anybody does. We want to have the best advisors that we have, the best counsel. For whatever it is, we want the most excellent and right thing, and God said he has it. Let's look at verse 7. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So he is speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. God speaks truth. God is not a God that he shall lie. He will always speak the truth to you. And the problem with us in our sinful nature, we don't like always hearing the truth, do we? We don't like being told that we're wrong. But he's saying, listen to me. Because what does God want to do with your life, with the wrong parts of your life? He wants you to teach you to do right, and he will forgive you of your sins. Let's look at verse 8. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. Now, what is righteousness? What do you mean? All my words are of righteousness. That means he'll teach you how to live right. You know, his words aren't crooked or perverse. He's going to teach you how to live right. Isn't that a good deal? Of course it's a good deal. And so his words do that. And in verse 9, let's look at verse 9 together. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. You know, his word is clear, not muddy. You know, I heard that if you have a clear pool of water, you can see the bottom of a pool or a lake up to 60 feet. How far can you see when it's muddy? Not very far at all. And here he says his words are plain, clear to him who understands. How do you understand? It begins by faith. It begins by the fear of the Lord, by asking God, Lord, I want to be your servant. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new life, a new mind, a new heart, and things will become plain and clear. Now, there's lots of things about the Bible we'll read and we'll say, well, I don't quite understand that. I don't get it. And there are some things about God we'll never understand. Maybe when we see him face to face, we'll like, I get it. We don't have the capacity because we're in this flesh to understand. It's like none of us have the capacity to fly like Superman, you know, unless you tie a rocket on you or something. But, you know, just to fly, we don't have that capacity. And we probably don't have that capacity to understand everything about God the way we are now on this earth. But God wants us to trust him by faith. You know, somebody once said, we don't live on explanations, we live on the promises of God. And so we live on that by faith. So we saw the urging of wisdom from the cry of wisdom. Now let's look at the capital of wisdom. Now what is the word capital? Capital means something of wealth. If you say, I have a lot of capital, that means you have a lot of money. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the state capital, but that's, you know, the state capital is where all the money decisions are made, right? Well, so the capital of wisdom. There's wealth that comes with wisdom. Let's look at verse 12 together. I, wisdom, deal with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Well, here, God is allowing us, showing us how to enter his gold mine, or if you will, his God mine. How to find these riches. Verse 13, here's the door, the key. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Ooh, what a promise. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit the earth, that I may fill their treasures. Well, to enter that gold mine or God mine, as you will, begins with fearing. Now, fearing in the Bible has a kind of a double meaning. It means like, woo, you ought to be scared. But it should be a fear out of respect, because you respect somebody. Now, do you guys respect your dads? Do you guys like ticking them off? Not really. You fear. You don't want to get in trouble with dad. That's fear. That's respect. The same thing with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We learned that in chapter 1. It all begins with fear and respect of God. And notice he tells us here, how do we show respect for God? First, let's look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hate evil. God hates evil. God hates our sin. How much did he hate our sin? How much did he hate our sin? He hated our sin so much that he sent his son to die for us. That's how much he hated our sin. Because he knew that the soul that sins will surely die. Our sins separate us from him. And he loved us so, he hated sin so much, but yet he loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. God hates evil. And he says, if you respect me, you too will hate evil. But what's the problem with our sinful nature? We like sinful things. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And it really is. But then after a while, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and starts pressing on you. And you're going, oh man, this is no fun at all. What's the matter with me? God, forgive me of my sins. And God forgives you of your sins. The second thing showing that you respect God is to hate pride and arrogance. Pride is saying, oh, I'm much better than you. I don't need any help. I could do it on my own. You know, pride and arrogance, you know, they're twin brothers. You know, they go together. And it's they think they can live without God. The fact of the matter is we all need God. We need him desperately. Even adults. You know, the funny thing about maturity is in the natural world and your families, maturity is you're going to grow dependent from your parents, right? When you're 40 years old, you hope not to be still living with mom and dad unless there's, and, you know, your mom's still washing your clothes and, you know, ironing for you. You know, you want to be able to learn to do things on your own, right? I hope you nod your heads yes. But for God, you know what maturity is? It's the opposite. It's like saying, God, I really need you. I need you to help me to make this decision. I need you to be with me when I'm ironing the clothes, when I'm taking care of the people I love. I need you there with me. It's dependence upon God. That's real maturity. The opposite is pride and arrogance. I don't need God. In fact, I think I'm like God. You know, it was pride that brought the devil down. I will be like the Most Highest. And God says, you're going to go down. And he did. The other way is hating the evil way. hating the path of wickedness, of evil. Now, God doesn't want us to hate evil people. He wants us to hate the way that they take. See, God loves the sinner, but he hates the evil way, the path that they choose. Why? Because it's destruction. Now, let's say you guys are parents. Would you love it or hate it for your kids to play in the freeway? Somebody answer the question. Would you love it or hate it for your child to play in the freeway? You would hate it, right? You hate the evil way. It's not you hate your child. You hate the path that they're taking. And so God hates the evil way. God hates it when people dabble with drugs, with methamphetamines. What do you talk about an evil way? That's a road to destruction. Stay away from it. Stay away from marijuana. Stay away from sexual immorality. Stay away from those sinful things. Because God has a better way, a better path, where you could sleep at night in righteousness and your sleep will be sound. You'll be in perfect peace. God hates the perverse mouth, the mouth that's full of filth and lies, that always talk about evil things. That's the perverse mouth. Why do you think God hates the perverse mouth? Because the mouth indicates what's in the heart. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks, Jesus says. You want to know what a person's like? Find out what they talk about a lot. That's a good indicator. Now, if you feel, you know, especially when you get older and you start like getting interested in other people, and you're interested in getting to the point where, man, I want to marry that person. But God, how do I know if he's right for me? Oh God, how do I know? What does that person speak about the most? Is it God? Or is it something else? I hope you're that person who loves talking about God. And you know the beauty about that? There's a verse that's in Malachi. And God says he writes like in a diary when his people talk about him. He cherishes that. He cherishes our Bible study this morning because we're talking about him. We're thinking about him. God loves that. But finally, let's look at the treasures of the gold mine. He says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom in verse 14. We all need advice sometimes, don't we? Counsel. Well, you know, this Bible is full of counsel, full of wisdom. Apply it to your heart and life. Knowing that you are weak is a treasure. It is? Oh yeah. The Bible says, when you are weak, who is strong? God's strong. See, strength in God's kingdom comes through weakness. Knowing that you can't do it on your own, but knowing with God all things are possible. Knowing that your flesh is weak. It's very weak. But God is strong. He also gives us the treasure of wisdom to govern and administer justice in verse 15 and 16. You know, some of you may become bosses someday, or team captains, or you're in a role of leadership. You know, maybe each and every one of you will get married. That's a leadership role. And God's going to give you wisdom how to govern and administer justice. That's important. Also, he offers us a love relationship. Verse 17, I love those who seek me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You know, God offers that. He wants you to know that you are loved. Do you know that God loves you? Oh, yeah, He loves you big time. Big, big time. And He wants you to know that. Those are the treasures to know that you're going to be, nobody's going to love you more than God will. You know, not the person you're going to marry, not the person who you think you want to marry. Nobody's going to love you like God. You know, the thing is, God knows the truth about you. Everything about you. Every little detail. And He still loves you. That makes me glad, because you know what? I sit on this stool and I'm a stinker. You know, there's a lot of areas in my heart God is working on. But you know what? He still loves me. And He's patient with me. And He'll keep molding me and shaping me. And if He has to, He'll take me out to the woodshed and get the paddle out and whack me on my bum. Why? Because He loves me. And He'll do the same to you. And also, He promises of treasures. Look at verse 18, 19, and 20. Riches and honor with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Wow. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue better than choice silver. God's wisdom is more valuable than all the riches in the world. You're a wealthy person if you understand the Word of God. You become rich. You know, they say that lottery winners, I forget what percentage, you know, exact number, but they say most lottery winners end up being broke and bankrupt. How about that? Amazing. And here God says, you can win the lottery, but it's better to know God's word. But let's say you are a wealthy person and you have the treasure of God's word. Chances are you'll probably know how to spend your money. You'll know how to manage your money. Because Proverbs talks a lot about money and being a good steward of it. You know, the problem with these lottery winners is that they probably never came from money. And now they have all this money. And what happens when you have a pile of money? You want to spend it. Right? You know, your grandparents give you a pile of money for Christmas. You know, what's the first thing you want to do? Ding-a-ding! You know, you get these things in your mind, what you want to spend it on. And bam, in 5 minutes you spent it all. Instead of saving some, tithing some, and, you know, and those important things. And, you know, as adults, it's difficult. You know, we're having an economic crisis in our country right now. Thousands of people are defaulting on their mortgages because they overspent their budget. See, God offers, He gives us counsel in His book not to do that. See, God is very practical. He wants to deal with every area. And so the promises of treasures, the treasure of knowing Him. Okay, now let's look at the credibility of wisdom, and we'll finish this up real quick. Credibility. What does it mean to have credibility? Let's say if Josh has credibility in his word, means that we could take him at his word. Josh said, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. What time will Josh be there? He'll be there at 10, maybe 9:55. That's how credible he is. He'll be there early. You can trust him at his word. And now that's what God's saying. The credibility of his wisdom. You can trust it. You can bank on it. And in this section, God's going to go way back to the beginning, the creation of the universe. Now, why do you think God is going back to that? Because God knows that we have eyeballs. God knows we have ears because He created them. We have hands. And He's given us human beings the keen ability to be observers. And so He's saying, I want you to look at creation and notice how it works, and that's a reflection of my wisdom. Now, if you can notice that and understand that and say, yeah, that's true, then you can trust my wisdom when it pertains to faith. So let's read. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. There was no depths. I was brought forth when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before mountains were settled, before hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the fountains of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was laid daily his delight, rejoicing in the dawn before him, rejoicing in him and in the inhabited world. And my delight was with his sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear the instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. So here the psalmist is giving a premise, an argument, a foundation, and a proposition. If this is true, then what? That's the proposition. If I created the heavens and the earth, don't you think you ought to listen to my word? That's what basically he's saying. He's saying, check out his natural laws. Now, he said he set the heavens in place. Aren't you glad that he did it with great precision? You know, you look at our solar system, we don't have the planet Mars having near misses to Earth. And aren't you glad that God didn't decide to move the Earth, let's say, 80 million miles away from the sun? It'd be a very hot day. They say we have global warming now, then we'd really have global warming. But he put us 93 million miles away from the sun for a specific reason. Oh, we have a tilt to our globe. Oh my gosh, why did he do that? What if the tilt was different and we got direct sun rays? We would cook up. We have four seasons. Oh man, they say our atmosphere is made of oxygen. You know, did you realize most of it's nitrogen? There's a perfect balance of gases. Can you imagine if it was off? We'd all be dead. God created the heavens and the earth with precision. And his word, you know, in natural law and how things work, you know, from the leaf on a tree to the palms of your hand, is very unique and crafted by God. Now, we would be wise to listen to his word. Because if he could regulate the universe, he could regulate our lives. So look around you. Also, that was his premise. Let's get his proposition. Let's look at verse 32. God's proposition, and it's blessings and more blessings. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my way. Oh, how happy are those who keep my way, who follow my way, because you know you're right with God. Hear the instructions and be wise. Do not disdain it. You know, again, he's appealing to your heart. He says, listen. Listen. It's important that you listen. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Now, look, notice this. Watching daily at my gates. What is this book like? Like a door, huh? Gates have doors, don't they? when we sit watching daily at the gates, opening up to God's Word and reading it and understanding it and meditating on it, you're going to find wisdom. You're going to find God there. God promises you that. Standing daily by the post of His doors. Whoever finds me finds life. That's true. God is life. He created life. And if you find Him, and you find Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, you'll find eternal life. And obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. You know, you're going to be accountable for your decisions that you make. Every decision has consequences, doesn't it? If I go out and drink a bottle of Jack Daniels and drive as fast as I can down Paseo, there will be consequences. Right? If I go and hang out with my friends and go smoke dope, there will be consequences. If I go and drink booze and booze it up with my friends, there will be consequences. Those who reject God, there will be consequences. And God says that. And it says you hate your own soul. Hello? God doesn't want you to do that, right? Of course not. He wants you to love your own soul by loving God. And all those who hate me love death. They want to die. It's kind of interesting, especially in the music industry, those who are the occult bands. What's their focus? What are they always singing about? Death. You know, God help them to see the light. And so, in conclusion, life is filled with questions, and it's in Christ that we find answers. And it's in Christ we find the answer to those basic questions. Why am I here? Does God exist? What happens when I die? What is my purpose in life? It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You can settle those answers to rest right now by placing your faith in Christ. And if you haven't done that, do that today. All it takes is a simple prayer saying, God, forgive me my sins. I want to follow you. You know, Lord, you paid for my sins, and now you want to give me your righteousness. See, when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God no longer sees you as a sinner. He sees you as righteous. Even though you still sin, God still sees you as righteous because he doesn't see what you can do. He sees what Christ has did and done, and it's perfect. So, it's through faith we must come to God, and it's by faith we walk with God. So let's trust and listen to his voice as he cries out in our hearts, and let's walk in his ways. And one more thing before we go. I want to give you three things. If there's three things to remember, we call it the application, is when you hear God's voice, listen and obey. You'll hear God's voice in his word, by the way. Okay? Respect God by showing your disdain or hatred for evil ways, for evil things. And thirdly, enjoy God's blessings. Enjoy his blessings and promises. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you. We praise you for your great goodness. We thank you that you gave us your word. And Lord, remind us to stand by your gateposts daily so that we may learn from you. I pray, Lord, for these kids that your spirit would come upon them and that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's anybody here who is longing for you, I pray, Lord, that you would fill their heart with your blessings and your grace and your spirit. I pray, Father, that you would continue to build your kingdom and that we could be a part of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a